Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The dream is made real. Ricky Hatton rocks the world.
I wish I was 50 years younger and I'd kick your ass.
It's over! Mbappe, he's done it! Anthony Joshua defeats Vladimir Klitschko!
Let's get ready to rumble!
Welcome back to BTR Boxing Podcast Network. I'm your host, Sean, and this episode I am joined by a relatively new professional boxer from the northwest area who has been training predominantly up in the northwest, doing a lot of sparring up with a lot of gyms that people will know, which we'll speak about throughout the course of the interview. But I'd like to welcome on 1-0 prospect Kyle Davis. Kyle, thank you so much for coming on the show.
No, thanks for having me.
You're very busy. You've got a fight coming up, which we'll talk about. But because we've never done anything before, me and you, we've never done any interviews face-to-face. This is the first time I'm really getting to know who you are and what you're all about. And for the purpose of these guys that listen to these shows, I think it's really good to get a little bit of background on yourself and sort of find out where your introduction to boxing came from. So where did it all begin for you, Kyle?
Well, my cousin was a professional boxer, Scott Lawton, so I think it kind of started there, just being around boxing. And then I got to an age where I just wanted to try it, to be honest. I didn't even know how long it'd stick at it. I was just trying everything at that point. But obviously, Scott had a gym, so it made it quite easy to just... It was just easy access to get there, really. And it was comfortable because, obviously, it was Scott's gym, so I didn't feel like we're really too daunting. I just thought, I'll just give it a go and see. And if not, then I've tried it.
So your introduction to it was through Scott. Now, Scott used to be... Yeah. I don't know if he's still there. He's at Impact, weren't he?
Yeah, it's the same gym, Impact.
So obviously Scott has been someone I've previously dealt with, done interviews with some of the fighters he's trained with. Yeah. Great guy. And obviously, you know, you've got that family relationship where you've then been introduced to the sport through this way. Because some people's stories, Kyle, are usually very varied. Like some people get into it because they're either being bullied at school, or they're either having a really adverse childhood, or there's many reasons, but this is just like a family thing for you.
I was just wanted to give something new a go. I was just trying everything at that time, and I just thought, you know what, I've got the it's there, like it was accessible really easy, so I thought I'll just give it a go.
So as the time progressed when you first started going to the gym, what was it like then starting to sort of match up with people and do like the skills bouts and then transition into an actual amateur career?
I mean, I just started at white collar, to be honest. I didn't really know. I was just going sparring anyone. I can remember I probably was in the going maybe two years or so, just sparring the pros, just getting in with anyone really. And then I was supposed to actually have a white collar fight that fell through. And then, obviously, the more I went, oh, I want to be an amateur. So I started going to Scott's amateur classes. But there was that many lads in there that I weren't really, because Scott didn't run that class and I didn't really get a look in. So I ended up actually going and travelling to different gyms and trying to find a gym that hadn't got much boxing so I could get a bit more, get my foot on the door a bit quicker. And that's how I ended up training in Northwich actually for my amateur career, and I went straight into I didn't have any skills bouts. I think I had my first bout at 15, I think I was, so I was just past the age for the skills bouts. So that's how it started really. Just I went to Northwich and there was a few fighters, but there weren't too many where I didn't feel like I'm never gonna get a chance to have a go at some point.
What was that like then, coming from that different background, really, like coming into it quite later on? Because some people come into it quite young, don't they? And then they just progress over the years as they get older.
Yeah,
and
see, that's what I saw in the amateurs, that everyone had seemed like they'd been doing it for a long time and everyone had had so many bouts, and that is what I thought I found quite hard at first, because I didn't really have that much experience. I kind of was jumping in the deep end, to, per se.
You've been doing this for a little bit of time now. And
yeah, it has been now, yeah.
You've transitioned into the professional side of the sport.
Yeah.
That's a big decision to make. What really prompted it? Was it because you enjoyed it? Was it because you felt you were getting better at what you was doing?
Well, I always wanted, that was when I first started, I was saying to everyone, I'm going to be a professional boxer. Like, that is everyone's dream at first. And then I had 7 amateurs, won 5, lost 2 in a East Midland. I lost in an East Midlands Box Cup final, and I lost in the Haringey final. And I was just getting a bit stale in the amateurs. Obviously, I joined quite late, so I was getting older. And I was like, I think the next thing to really give me a bit more, like, just to push me on, is to turn pro. So I did. I had a conversation with my coach who had been with me through the whole amateur career, and he said, like, you're probably going to have to take a year out and train a bit more to transition, because I was 18 when I wanted to turn over. So I had a year out, then COVID, which made it 2 years out. But to be honest, it was the best thing I did. Like, I just saw so much improvement and change in my mentality and my boxing over them 2 years, that I think if I would have stayed in the amateurs, I would have just gotten a bit stale, and I don't know what would have happened, to be fair.
It's different though, isn't it? Like, when you're in the amateurs, you have to box a certain way. You have to box a certain style. And the one common theme that I hear, and I've heard for years with professional boxers that I've interviewed, is I don't have necessarily that style that suits an amateur, because it's very much like fencing. You know, you're picking your shots. Some people don't like to fight like that. Some people like to do things a different way. So I can understand then why you've made that decision to go off on your own back and get that experience. And then obviously with COVID, like you say, it's given you the opportunity to go and train even more and get yourself prepared for a transition into the pro rank. So am I right in thinking you're around 21, 22 now?
Yeah, just turned 22 in January. Yeah.
So you're relatively young. You've just turned over. You had one fight last year, professional fight against Daryl Sharp. Yeah. Very well-known journeyman in the UK on the circuit. I know Daryl quite well, and he's a very tough guy, and he's very difficult. He's a very difficult guy to fight on some nights. Some nights he goes through the motions. Some nights he can be a very difficult guy to fight. So you transitioned last year. Just talk to me about, like, what that experience was like, finally doing the transition. Was you nervous? What was the feeling going into it?
Well, I think, like you said, that amateur style probably lost me them 2 finals. That weren't really my style. So that is a big factor of why I did turn over, because I thought the pros are going to suit me more. Sparring more and more pros, I kind of realised, like, it was a good job I took them 2 years off, because I probably wasn't physically ready when I was 18, 19. So the transition has been harder, like, don't get me wrong, but I think my style has complemented it well, so it has helped me to adapt. And like, that first pro fight was like, well, it's the first time I've had no head guard on as well. First time, it's little things, first time in no top, boxing in no top, you know, first time having a ring walk as such. Normally you're already at the side of the ring at amateurs, and you hop straight in, put your guard on and box. First time I've had more than like 5 people come watch. So a lot was new. It was my first southpaw as well. But just in that bout, I was just realising as it was going, like, this is I much prefer this. And I'm glad I made the decision, really.
One of the biggest challenges you face at this stage of your career very early on, and something that our listeners in America don't really understand until they hear from people like yourself in the UK, is that you guys have to do things a certain way in terms of getting your professional fights off the ground.
Yeah.
So you guys work with a certain promoter, and then you would then have to have an allocation of tickets that would have to be sold to allow for the cost of the opponent to be covered, and also you to be able to take something away from that, which can be very, very, very challenging and extremely difficult, which is why I know you also have to work a job to be able to finance yourself at the same time. So that must have been a real eye-opener for you.
I mean, I've been lucky with tickets. I can't say I've not, but there's still been times where the first couple of weeks of selling them where I'm stressing, thinking, oh, I might not make up enough to even sell, like, forget getting paid, to even get the fight off. I mean, I'm lucky with sponsors and good, like, supporters that I do manage to do okay, but I know from the other lads as well how hard. I know myself, and I just, even dropping tickets off, like dropping people tickets off all the time and then going to train and then try and chase people up to see if they still want a ticket, people cancelling on you and then you stress that you might not even get to fight. Like, it was a different world from just boxing, like just having a bout in the amateurs and just knowing I don't have to do anything but turn up and train and fight, really.
Yeah, it is. It's hard. And I think people that are not educated within that side of the sport don't fully appreciate how difficult it can be. I mean, the average person that watches boxing doesn't really appreciate that the guys at this level, like yourself, are trying to make ends meet whilst trying to train, whilst trying to progress your career, whilst trying to have more difficult fights and actually step yourself up, you know, every couple of fights that you're having. So I understand and appreciate like how difficult it actually is. And this is why it's so important when you mention sponsors. It's when I've always done these interviews with people at this level, I've always said, look, you know, these guys are like the bloodline to what you're doing at the moment. And without them at this stage of your career, how are you really going to be able to facilitate where you're going with it without that level of support? It's incredibly important. So I notice you've got a top on there on the video that we're doing as well. I notice you've got a couple of sponsors on there. So I think it'd be an apt moment for them just to kind of get mentioned by yourself, you know, for them to sort of know that how much it means for you to be able to get this level of support.
Well, I do have I do have one more sponsor that's not on this T-shirt, but the T-shirts are just getting made. But I've got C&G Equine. It was actually my mum's company who I work for, but she helps me, like, from travelling to sparring, to London, to back, to everywhere. And then we've got Magna Projects, who helps. I couldn't do it without them, to be fair. It's from clothing to my medical, which is just such a hot, expensive thing, especially when sometimes you don't even make enough back to pay for your medical over the year. And then I've also got Cutting It Barbers, who have supported me from the start as well. So I'm really thankful for all of them.
Yeah, absolutely. A big shout out to all of them, because, you know, without them, you wouldn't be able to continue doing what you're doing. And one of the things I picked up on when we was chatting privately before doing the interview was, like, I was looking at where you were going, who you were sparring, and I recognised a lot of familiar faces, a lot of people that I would know, a lot of people that I've previously interviewed and done stuff with in the gym, and it's great to see. So, like, I've seen a few names, Mikey Ellison from Elite Boxing Gym, you've been over to Elite, I've seen Lyndon Arthur over there, I've seen you in there and doing things with people at such a different stage of the career. So for you, at this stage, what is it like getting into the ring with somebody who's so much further on in their careers, like, experience-wise?
I mean, it does... Honestly, I can't say that I don't get nervous, because I do... The more I've done, the more I've kind of told myself, do you know what, like, I belong... Maybe not now, but I can see that I belong there. I will get to that stage, as in not the sparring, as in the fighting. Like, they give me a goal that I can actually physically get in there and go, right, I know how good they are, I know what level, I've seen how hard they train to get there. And I think it's just done good for my confidence as well, just to know that I've been in with them. I keep getting asked back. They never say no when I need sparring, so I must be doing something right in my coach's eyes to put me in there, and also their eyes to keep letting me come and take the time. Like, really, I'm taking time where they could have had someone else in. Like, they're busy as well, but they're always having me back. So it's just done good for my confidence, and also give me something to really aim for now, a real goal.
So you're out in a week, you're out on the 25th of March, and you've got an opportunity to be back in there. We're very early on into the year still. We're in the first quarter of the year. So what is the ideal scenario for you now in terms of the amount of fights this year, providing you stay injury-free and healthy, of course?
Yeah, I mean, last year was just hard, just a lot of things just... you know what it's like. A lot of things just went wrong. So this year we're hoping, I think, to get four is a minimum. Just get four in. Good bouts. I mean, my next opponent as well, he's had four. Won one, lost three. So he's not like what you'd say, anyone would say, a journeyman. Like, he's going to be a good bout. I know he comes to win. It's just more bouts like that where I can keep learning different styles, because I've not had the background of the amateurs. So I really have got to make up for it in sparring and fights. So, the plan to be at four and then see where we are in four next year and see, like, is there a possibility for the title at the end of next year? Like, just to see what is on the cards, really. But we need to just make sure we get enough bouts this year to be able to then excel again next year to the next stage.
Yeah, absolutely. Activity is the key, as everybody will tell you, as you know. Who's promoting you at the moment? Who's your main promoter?
So it's Black Adams, but that's in partnership with Scott Lawton. That's what... I mean, I haven't... I just signed with Scott, and then I think Black Adams come quite new and done something with Scott as a new promotion. I think they had a show at King's Hall. It was a really good show, all live streams. I was actually away, fortunately, for that. But yeah, it was a really good show. And I think that was their first one. This will be their second with Scott.
And who's actually managing you? Is it Scott as well?
Yeah, Scott's my manager as well. Yes.
So you're in good, capable hands then, you know.
Yeah, definitely.
So obviously I've seen the fighters over the years that Scott has had on his books and has been training, and I know, and I've met Scott a few times, and I know that he'll be doing a great job of getting you the fights and getting you pushed forward throughout your career over the course of the year. It's quite exciting, but you've got a lot of work to do, haven't you, like you said, because you've got to make up for sort of lack experience elsewhere. And you know, the thing is, some fighters like don't have extensive amateur backgrounds and then are able to come into the professional sport and able to then, after say 10 to 15 fights, all of a sudden they sort of appear out of nowhere to the mainstream audience, and you're thinking, where's this guy come from? Do you know? Yeah, and you're thinking... There's a lot of opportunity
as well. Yeah. And definitely, like, as well, like, he's quite active as well at this side of light, heavyweight division, / super middle. I am looking at super middle, really. We've not, but even up to 10 fights, like, there's some good fights up there that could propel you up to quite far up the rankings and that quite early. So, it's just, I think, about with me picking the right fights and making sure I'm just picking up the right experience of what I am lacking is the biggest thing. I think, like, the fights will come in time. It's just not rushing anything or getting ahead of ourselves too early.
Yeah, that's it. And obviously, it's a whole journey that you're on. And we picked each other up on Instagram. So I'm going to say at this moment, this is the time to start plugging all your social handles. So wherever you want people to follow you and follow your journey.
So mostly it's just on Instagram. It's Kyle_Davies_boxer, I'm sure. I have got a Facebook page as well. I think it's just Kyle Davies Boxer. And that'll be literally everything. That'll be the handle on everything.
So there's a lot of promising fighters coming from your area at the moment, and there's one in particular that springs out to mind who's got an amazing sort of level of support from people from Stoke in particular, and that's Nathan Heaney. He's really being progressed throughout his career, and he's got this rematch with Jack Flatley coming up as well. So there's a lot of promising fighters coming from your neck of the woods.
Definitely. He was a tutor at Matt College and I was there, to be fair, so it's funny how that works, but yeah, like, that support that you get is just from being around Stokes Arm, talking to people, everybody knows. So he's done a real good job of marketing as well as the boxing, which, as you were saying, is half of the job as well. Like, it's not just the fighting part, the training part. You've got to make yourself kind of a brand as such that people want to come and get behind.
That's a big thing, isn't it? Like, when you think about what's happened in the past few weeks and the controversy over two novice pros fighting in Saudi Arabia and getting paid a hell of a lot of money for it, you know, it's been
marketing.
It's been the topic of conversation, and the reason for it is because both of them fighters in particular was able to create what's known as a brand, which is you as a boxer, which is you as a person, and being able to market yourself in that way. And it's a very, very difficult thing to be able to do in transition. And I know you've got many challenges on the road ahead of you, but there's a lot of people that are behind you, friends, family, people that you know that are close to you that are here to support you. So it could be an absolutely amazing journey, and it's one that myself and I'm sure our listeners will be following you on. So I'd like to take the last couple of moments really just to let you have the floor and just give a big shout out to those that, you know, that are really supporting this journey and really making significant impacts on your life to allow you to do this.
Oh, yeah, well, I couldn't do it without everyone. Mum, for helping me with days off work, letting me come in and out of work when I need to. Obviously, all my sponsors, obviously, everyone at the gym, Scott, manager, Joe, and Steve, my trainers, and Joe especially, who's been with me since, well, not just always been together, really. And Steve, who is also, he trains at another gym, but he comes every time he can help. And they've been both with me since the amateurs. So without their support as well, and everyone at the gym, and everyone buying tickets, like, it just wouldn't be possible. I just couldn't do it on my own. And I think every boxer would say that. Without everyone that helps, it's just such a hard sport. Even though you're in the ring on your own, you need everyone out of the ring as well. Else you just can't do it, really.
No, absolutely. And if anybody obviously wants to get tickets off Kyle, they can contact him via Instagram or via the Facebook page. Please do. If you are in the local area, please make sure you get in contact with him. Just try and support him wherever possible. It's going to be exciting. It's been a pleasure to have you on, and I wish
thank you
nothing but the best of luck. And maybe we should catch up in about 12 months time, and let's see where things are at then, and let's see what the experiences have been like for you then.
No, thank you for having me on. Thank you.
No problem. Thanks, Kyle. Well, that was a pleasure speaking to Kyle. I hope that you guys listening, friends and family of Kyle, have enjoyed one of his first interview, if not his first interview. We were speaking off air about getting used to doing interviews, and it's been a pleasure to be able to get him on this show, and hopefully in a year or so's time he'll come back and he'll have more confidence, and he'll be so much further on in his career, and we'll be having different conversations about things that he's gone through throughout the course of his boxing career to date. But as he said, you can follow him on his social media channels. Please make sure you do. Give him the support. If you're listening to it and you're from his local area, please make sure you support him. Whatever you can do to support him in any way, any shape, any form, please do, because it is so difficult at this stage of a boxer's career to be able to sustain that boxing career and work full time and try to live a normal life. It is incredibly difficult. Well, that is it for this episode. I hope you've enjoyed it. If you have, please make sure you let us know on social media at BTR Boxing Pod on Twitter, or find us on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and you can find us on TikTok, the BTR Boxing Podcast Network Facebook page. If you're not a patron of this podcast and you're interested in looking at what else we do, you can find us at patreon.com/BTR Boxing Podcast. And on there, you can actually get early access to series-based content. You can get ad-free versions of every single episode that we put out there, and you can have our Patreon only content, which is exclusive episodes for those that choose to subscribe to us that way and support us in a way which helps us produce all of that fantastic series based content. Well, that is it for this episode. Thank you very much for listening, and we'll see you next time.
The dream is made real. Ricky Hatton rocks the world.
How do you like it? How do you like it?
Wish I was 50 years younger and I'd kick your ass.
It's over. He's done it! Anthony Joshua defeats Vladimir Klitschko!
Let's get ready to rumble!
Podcast Network.